This meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will come to order at 1:30 p.m. in the Belt Room 105. Today is Friday, January 27th, 2023. Members present are Senator Merrick, Senator Bishop, Senator Dunbar, and myself, Senator Bjorkman. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off your cell phones. I'd like to welcome and thank our recording secretary, Juliana Singh, and LAO moderator, Zach Lawthorne. Today, we will continue our exploration of workforce issues in Alaska. With us on Teams this afternoon, we have Kathy LeCompte with the Alaska Vocational Technical Center, or AVTEC, and Doug Walrath with Northwest Alaska Career and Technical Center, or NACTEC. They're going to talk about workforce challenges they are seeing and what their respective centers are doing to provide Alaskans with the skills, tools, and abilities to enter the workforce. First up, we'll have Director Kathy LeCompte. Kathy, thank you for joining us today, and welcome to Senate Labor and Commerce.
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman, and members of the committee. Can you all hear me?
We can. Would you like the committee members to ask questions throughout your presentation today, or wait till the end?
Let's wait till the end. Would be wonderful.
Very good. So we'll hold our questions until the end.
Thank you. And for the record, I'm Kathy LeCompte, Division Director at the Alaska Vocational Technical Center, or otherwise known as AVTEC. Thank you all for inviting me to speak to you today. I love to talk about AVTEC every chance I get. So this is just another opportunity for me to tell you all a little bit about what AVTEC's doing, respond to Senator Bishop's request for a 10-year look back on enrollments, and then to let you know what we are doing to address the emerging needs of Alaska's workforce to provide training to Alaskans. Next slide. Please. So the first slide is just a little an overview of AVTEC. We are a division of the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, which makes us a unique structure. I don't think there's any other state in the union that has this structure where there is a training center that's owned and operated by an agency of the state. Our relationship in the department is a wonderful relationship. All of the divisions work well together, and we help each other perform our duties to serve Alaskans. AVTEC's been here 50 years. We celebrated our anniversary in 2019. And for the past 25 years, we've been accredited with the Council on Occupational Education. It's an accrediting body that ensures that the 10 standards of quality and excellence are being met through our training and service. We serve Alaskans from over 120 communities each year, so our mission fulfillment is a statewide mission. Next slide, please. Our mission is to deliver flexible, accessible, affordable workforce training that's responsive to the dynamic needs of business and industry and serves our diverse communities. The students that come to AVTEC range in age from 18 to 65 or 70, depending on the year. Most of the students are 18 to 24 years old. We've seen a shift in our demographic. We're serving more students coming to us directly out of high school. But we still serve adult students as well, adult learners that need to get additional skills or upskilling, or they need a new set of skills, or what we call reskilling. Often, though, these adult learners can't pull up stakes and come to AVTEC, so we are planning to expand our training outside of Seward, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later in my presentation. One of AVTEC's strengths is our tight connection with employers to be responsive to their needs, and I have a couple of examples I'll share with you later on in the presentation. And up to a year after training, we have a career development counselor who keeps in touch with our students to ensure that they are gainfully employed in the area that they participated in training. Our completion rate is brag-worthy. We have over 90% completion, and of those students in FY21, 92% were employed in their area of training. Next slide, please. This is the list of the training programs that we have. If you want more information, you can dial into that QR code for full details of our programs. But you can see we have 9 occupational training programs and the Alaska Maritime Training Center, all located here in Seward. The 9 programs run anywhere from 90 to 180 days, depending on the program. We offer them in a workplace simulation, and so students get a sense of what it's like to get up and get to work on time, go to lunch, come back from lunch on time, be ready to work at the time prescribed, not come in, get your coffee, hang your coat. They have to be ready to work at 8:30, and many of the classes run clear to 4:30. If they're ill, they need to call in. If they're going to miss class for any other reason, they need to call in. We give them the opportunity to build those skills so that when they get into the workforce, they're prepared to be a good employee. They're also graded on that. We find that if you grade students on stuff, they like it. They do it better. So they get graded on their ability to be a good employee as well. Next slide, please. I wanted to just take a minute to share a little bit about our Maritime Training Center. Maritime Training Center has over 40 U.S. Coast Guard approved courses that are offered here in Seward, and we do advanced training online. And this is something new because the Coast Guard was not very keen on doing online learning, but during the pandemic, they changed their mind. And so we've kept that ability, and they've kept that ability to do the training online, and we're able to offer advanced classes. So students can start in our high school class, our Young Mariners, or Introduction to Navigational Skills. And we've had students work their way up to captain just by coming to AvTech, getting training, getting their license, upgrading, and going up that career ladder. We call that the Haas pipe. And it's similar to what they would do if they went off to Cal Maritime or Piney Point or Kings Point, which is the academies, where they go in and they get all this education in 4 years and come out on the other end as a third mate or second mate. They can do the same thing here at AvTech. It takes a little longer, but it's an earn and learn model that many of our students do. If any of you have ever been to AvTech, I'm sure you've been on our simulation, because that's what we do. When you come to AvTech, we put you in the simulation room and you get to drive a tug or a barge or a polar tanker, and it's a lot of fun for people to get a feel for that, but the training tool is very valuable for the industry. Pilots come and train. If there's new docks going in, they can do a prototype and they build the dock, and then the pilots can come and the captains can come and try and dock the vessel in the simulation and find out if the construction is going to work or not. It's been a very valuable tool for research in addition to training. And some of the training is actually Coast Guard approved. Coast Guard likes you to actually be on a vessel, but there are some cases where they will take simulation training. So our simulator gets a lot of work. So if you haven't been, please make it a plan to come down here and we'll put you in the simulator. Next slide, please. This is just a slide that talks a little bit about our partnership with the university. And I wanted to put this out for you so that you understand that AvTech is not a standalone. We work in tandem with other post-secondary providers. Doug is an excellent partner at NACTech, and the university is an excellent partner, especially in the maritime education business. We have a consortium that was created about a year and a half ago, where the intent is to make sure that our maritime workforce is supported and filled with Alaskans. We want to make sure that we have the ability to deliver maritime training across the state, and decided as post-secondary providers of maritime education that it would be a good idea to join forces and do that collaboratively. Next slide. Oh, I think I took out that other slide. So, okay. So that's it about the Maritime Training Center and our partnership with the university. And I think Doug will probably talk a little bit about our partnership with them. So, hang on just one second here. I've lost my view. All I'm seeing is Doug. So just give me a second here. Not that I don't want to see you, Doug. You look great, but I just want to make sure that I've still got everybody else too. So anyways, so the slides 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, and 12 are in response to Senator Bishop's request for a 10-year look back in our enrollments. So I don't think I'll go through each slide individually necessarily, but I do want to hit some highlights, because when you look at the numbers, that's not the whole story. And I need to let you know the rest of the story, if you will. So on slide 7, the enrollment trends, you can see back in FY12 to FY16, Avtec was in the long-term programs, are what I'm speaking of. So the red is the long-term programs, the blue is our maritime, and then the green is total. And those long-term programs, that enrollment was due solely to the health campus that was in Anchorage. Avtec offered in Anchorage, in collaboration with CITC, CNA, LPN, and RN. And the perfect storm that happened that caused the big decline in enrollments was the need to reduce budget. And this is all before my time, so this is all what I've learned in my history and my gaining information from my predecessors. There was a request and requirement to reduce the budget, and the grant ran out. And so there was no sustainability plan. And so this program was closed. And so that program no longer exists. So we taught out the classes, and by FY17 we're at the tail end of teaching the health programs out. Another thing that happened was additional reductions in enrollments and reduced budgets. Because of that, we had to eliminate a chef in our culinary program, cut the program to one start instead of an August and January start, and then the same in construction, plumbing, and heating and refrigeration. All had to go to half years just in our need to match our budgets with our enrollments. At the time, the economy was pretty good. Unemployment was low. It was pre-pandemic. And in the community college training world and training center world, when there's people are working, they're not interested in getting trained. So there was not a big demand for some of these courses because people were working. And then, it just kind of continued on the decline to FY19, and we started looking at alternative ways to serve Alaskans. Clearly, having them come here to Seward, to our residential training programs, wasn't meeting the needs of people that wanted and needed training but couldn't pack up their life and move to Seward, Alaska to do it. So we started looking at doing short courses and extracting out of our long courses bits and pieces. So out of our construction class, for example, building stairs, doing sheetrock, you know, building a foundation. Those modules were extracted, and we were ready to take that training on the road. And then COVID hit, and all bets were off, and we had to shut down, send students home in FY20 who were two-thirds complete, and figure out how to get them back to finish their training at some point in time, at the time, we thought it was going to be a couple weeks, not a big deal. And a couple weeks turned into a couple months and then a couple of years. So in FY21, we were able to open at half capacity. Due to health and safety concerns, we didn't want to have students sharing a bathroom. We have Jack and Jill's bathrooms at the facilities in the dorms. So we were at half capacity, just kind of coming back. And then by the time we got to FY22 and we were ready to open, I lost 5 teachers. So there goes my capacity again, because I didn't have enough instructors. So here we are, FY23. We've got a full complement of instructors again. We've got full students enrolled, and we're ready to launch our customized training in short courses. And if you go through the slides, you'll see the story unfold in all the different programs. And I will direct your attention to page 11, which is the energy and building trades. And if you look in FY22, that green bar is facilities maintenance and construction. And that's our most recent short course in this new model of taking training to Alaskans or offering training in Seward on a short course. This is a 6-week facilities maintenance program that we did in collaboration with Widener Group and other employers that meets the needs of somebody that works in a facilities maintenance role that needed to know a little bit about a lot of things. And then if they're interested in knowing more, they can come back to AvTech. If they are interested in plumbing or they're interested in refrigeration or more construction, they can come back for our full program. But this gives them the skills they need to be an effective facilities maintenance service worker. So, 2 examples that are in the works right now, or that we've done before and that are in the works, was we partnered with the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, who had an employer who needed a entry-level construction workers that had OSHA training, they knew confined space, they knew their lockout, tagout. They needed this workforce. So Bristol Bay Native Corporation, I believe, used their STEP grant that they got from the Department of Labor and offered this training in collaboration with AvTech. We sent the instructors out. We used the Dillingham University campus construction lab, and 2 weeks of intensive construction training prepared 8 local folks for work for this particular contractor to build tiny homes in the villages. So that was a model that I'd love to be able to replicate in other places. That was a partnership between a lot of different agencies. The next example I'm going to tell you about is a customized training. We have this 6-week course, and we have a partner, Trident Seafoods, who's gone through the course, the list of courses, and said, we'd like this course, this course, this course, and that, kind of a cafeteria, if you will. And they're sending 6 of their incumbent workers here to AvTech to participate in that customized training to skill up those 6 workers in Trident in these areas of expertise that they need. So we're it's like Groundhog Day, if you will. We're starting over again. I feel like I'm back in FY19, but in FY23, we're ready to launch this, and I believe that it will be of good service to Alaskans. On to the next slide. This talks a little, yes.
Continue.
Okay, thank you. So the next slide is a visual of what I just explained to you, with the exception of one on the right-hand side. That's a partnership that we have rebirthed after the pandemic. Those students are all students at the Alaska Military Youth Academy. And our Introduction to Nautical Skills, which is the high school class that we teach in our maritime program, It is offered in a variety of ways. It's offered once a week for an hour for 12 weeks, or it's offered intensively for a week and maybe a day, I think. And so the Military Youth Academy wanted it intensively. We sent an instructor up there. They did the training, and this is the part of the training where they all have to don survival suits and learn how to float and survive as a team. If any of these students are interested in pursuing a maritime career, we have grant funds available through Perkins funding that will pay for them to come here for basic training and get them into the Coast Guard system and get them ready to walk onto a tug, a barge, a fishing vessel, or some other ship, and they'll be ready to go to work. Next slide, please. I wanted to share a little bit about our specialty training. ABTEC has been in the business of offering related technical instruction for apprenticeships in construction and healthcare. Healthcare is recent. Construction's been about 20 years, and we do it online. So it doesn't matter where you are doing your apprenticeship in plumbing, electrical, drywall. You can access the related technical instruction using online learning. We also have bus driver training that we do. That was a surprise to me. I was here a year before I discovered that we do bus driver training. We've been doing that for 20 years. We train the trainers, and then they go back and train the bus drivers in the districts. We have I told you about the nautical skills class, and then that CompTIA is a new program we've just started, and it is an apprenticeship in information technology networking. And we just launched that this year. We had four apprentices. ABTEC is the multi-employer sponsor. And we put four people in. We had two come out the other end, which was great. And the other two are still plugging along. And this is a brand new program. This was a brand new cohort last spring. We hope that it will take off. ABTEC's focus is to not train for specific industry. We do cross-cutting skills that are applicable in many industries. IT is the best example of that. Everybody has computers, everybody has networks, and you need somebody that can do the plug and play and the troubleshooting. And so using the apprenticeship model provides an opportunity for somebody who's employed. They like computers. They can't, you know, they're into it. They're kind of the de facto desktop support guy or gal. They can get some formal training without leaving their job, without leaving their community, and get into a pay scale that advances them throughout the apprenticeship program. And the last thing I wanted to tell you about was our senior year to career. We are not a credit-based school. We are a clock hour school. So when it comes to dual enrollment, it's difficult for us to play and participate in that. But what we've been able to do is we've been able to make an exception to our admissions policy. So our admissions policy is you have to be 18 and you have to have a high school diploma. That's part of the check boxes to get into ABTEC. But what we've done is we've relaxed our admissions policy for a particular group of students or a student that is in high school. They're 17. They've got all their credits for graduation. They don't have their diploma yet, but they want to come and get a start. We've had students from the local area, from the local high school, come and start in our welding program in January because they're done, basically, and they're just kind of waiting and taking other classes. But because of the online in high school, they can, if they have like one class left to take, they could do that. But we discourage that. We find that once the student gets into ABTEC, they get in and they're like turned on by welding. They don't want to finish that English class. So we try and make them finish, and they're just kind of in a waiting mode until they can get their diploma. And this program has not had a lot of enrollments, but it's getting more each year as students learn about it. And it's a really good fit for homeschool students. They tend to finish early, and they have their allocation of education funds that they can use to get started here at ABTEC. And then the next slide is my last slide. It's 15, slide 15. This is just going to, this just tells about, it's a visual of what our new programs are. So up in the top left-hand corner, I talked about that already. That's our facilities and building maintenance. Up in the right-hand corner is a photo of our industrial machine and mechanic class. This is a new class, and it's cross-industry training, focusing on machining, precision measurement tools and layout, blueprint reading, CAD, 3D printing, quality control, and basic welding. This is another one of those cross-cutting skills that you don't need a bunch of people for, but you need one or two people in various places that has this, that have this skill set. We're doing a business office skills class, 6-week modules, going to be offered in a hybrid delivery model, a little bit online, a little bit asynchronous, you know, working on their own, a little bit in person. The topics are foundational business skills, entrepreneurial and small business skills, project management, financial literacy, and personal leadership development. We're excited to get those online in the fall and offer those out to folks that are working in offices or want to start their own business. They can do this in a hybrid fashion. And then the last in the lower left corner is Yamaha training. This was a collaboration with the university under the Alaska Maritime Education Consortium project, and now with UAA Kenai Peninsula College. And I'm happy to say I just hired an electrical, marine electronics subject matter expert today. I love it when people come and find me. And he says, I do this. And I'm like, wow, you want a job? So it was really great. So we just, I'm very excited to stand that program up with the expertise of this new instructor. So that is all I have for you today.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy, for your presentation and testimony. Does the committee have any questions? Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the presentation. Can you speak to the fee structure at AFTEC?
Yes, I can, as a matter of fact. So our, through the chair, Senator Merrick, our long-term programs, the ones that were shown on page 4, are the fees structure for that is per term, and the term for the 90 days is $2,400. I don't have it exactly memorized. It's around $2,400, and then the two terms is $4,800. And that's tuition. And then we have technology fees for access to the network and the internet. We've had to increase our pipe. Students come with lots of devices and want a game and do all that kind of stuff. So we've had to increase our pipe. So they pay access fee. It's a one-time fee of $350. And then we also have a student services fee that pays for, we have a sauna and a ceramics lab and a fitness center and a full gym, volleyball, basketball, rock wall, keep them busy. And then there's their books and supplies, consumables. So, and that varies depending on the program, like culinary arts, how much food they're going to use, and welding, how much steel they're going to burn, and how much oxygen they need. So that's variable.
Great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Director Lacombe, for coming today. And I guess I have two questions. The first is, you know, we know that there's a lot of federal funds coming through the Bipartisan Infrastructure Fund, and we're going to need a lot more skilled labor. And I'm wondering, this goes to Senator Bishop's question about enrollment. You know, are you able to expand? Are you physically constrained? What are the constraints for starting to put out some more skilled trades people in the coming years? And my second question is, I don't know what your relationship is or is not with the trade unions. So you're talking about welding and industrial electronics, and that got me thinking about the sheet metal workers, you know, IBEW. And I know that there's been some relationships at King Technical High School in Anchorage, which is in my district, where you know, they've been working on relationships there, and folks will be able to go, you know, basically leave the program and head into a union apprenticeship or into the union. So can you speak to those two questions, please?
Yes, through the chair, Senator Dunbar, I can. I'll speak to the capacity question first. Like every other career and technical education program, I have 12 welding booths. It's not a like an English class where you can put it in a lecture hall and have 100 English students. So I'm very limited on my capacity. We do August start and a January start in welding, so we're able to accommodate about 20 welders. Because of the nature of what we do here, and welding is just an example, but just think all long-term programs at Avtec. So our capacity, our ability to expand here in Seward is limited by the capital investments that have been made here. And we've had plenty. We have a brand new diesel heavy technology lab, and we've had some investment in the past in our infrastructure here. But we are looking at a finite number. So that's why we are looking to work in tandem with other post-secondary providers. The example I gave of the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, where we used the facilities at the Bristol Bay campus of the university because they have a empty lab. They weren't able to get an instructor. And getting a career and technical education instructor is also very challenging. But I can tell you, when you get one that has the love of teaching and sharing their craft, it's golden. It's golden for the students and Alaskans. So using their facility, because they haven't been able to stand up their construction, so we use their facility. The Bristol Bay Native Corporation folks recruited the students, pulled the employer in, and built this coalition, if you will, to train up these folks in the region for those jobs. So we have to continue to do more of that. So we're looking for more partnerships. The Yamaha and UAACTC. We have a relationship with the Ketchikan campus of the university for the maritime training. We have to figure out how we can collaborate and share resources to take the training to Alaska, take the training to the regions, and what does each person bring to the table? What is the expertise that they bring to the table? I may have a subject matter expert in X, you know, in welding that can travel to Nome, to their welding lab, and do some training out there. So we work with Doug to make that happen. So it's going to have to be a joint effort in my opinion, for the post-secondary providers to meet the demand, because you either have facilities and no instructor, or an instructor and no facilities. And so collectively, collaboratively, we have to work together to meet that need. To respond to your question about the unions, we do work closely with the unions, and in the past, we've had a very tight relationship with several of the unions, iron workers, plumbing and pipe fitters, IBEW. And in the case of IBEW, we had an articulation agreement with them where students that came out of our electricity program could get 1,000 hours towards their apprenticeship. So, looking to renew that relationship and give students that opportunity. There may not be room in the unit. The hall may be full and they're just, you know, pushing people out. But if it's not, it's a great relationship because it gets students that leg up. It's a pathway, right? So they start in one place and they take what they learned and they stack it into the next place, whether it be a union or whether it be on the job with apprenticeships on the job. So, yes, we do work very closely with our unions. Actually, I just hired an Avtec graduate. He graduated 10 years ago from our welding program and was in the pipe fitters union and is now back at Avtec teaching, which is lovely.
Thank you, Director. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. I would like to take just a moment to recognize Deputy Commissioner Kathy Munoz from the Department of Labor, who has joined us today. Thank you for being here. Other questions from the committee? Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kathy, good to see you. Congratulations on a full complement of instructors. I just got the big burning question for me on here is, do we have plans to bring back the LPN CNA and RN program?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, at this time we are looking to bring back the CNA program. And we're looking to bring that back in collaboration with the Covey Academy in Anchorage. There's been a move in the industry, Providence, and other health providers to stand up their own training in-house. So I have to do some research to find out what is that demand. Is it CNA? I had a conversation with the owner of a home health care, and that home health care is big, but they don't have personal care assistants or certified nursing aides. And is, you know, who else is doing LPN? Can we partner with them? Because it comes down to resources. The reason that the health campus in Anchorage was so successful, my understanding, again, it was before my time, was that there were grant funds to stand it up. So there were resources to stand that up. So in answer to your question, I can't say yes or no for sure. I can say I have been encouraged and have begun my research on how to make that happen, to bring that back, and where's going to be the best place to do it, to serve the most Alaskans, and where can they get their preceptor didactics. I still have to learn about all this stuff. But you know where they have to go in and they have to do it in the facility. So, yes. So the answer to your question is probably. How's that? Apologies for that inconclusive answer.
That's fine. I had a little hand in getting the RN program started with Fred Esposito back in the day. So anyway, that's good. I'm seeing the commissioner nod some heads back here, so we'll chat later. Thank you. Good job.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Director LeCompte, for that presentation. Any final questions from the committee? I just have a couple. Director LeCompte, I've heard a lot of excitement surrounding the program from Yamaha Outboards, and certainly great to hear about getting that program up and rolling. Could you tell us a little bit more about that program and opportunities that it provides?
Certainly. So, Mr. Chair, I believe Senator Bishop was involved in the conversation for the allocation to the university for the Fisheries Maritime Seafood Initiative. And part of those funds were allocated to Alaska Maritime Education Consortium to stand up our own Yamaha training program. And that includes a train the trainer center in Prince William Sound. They've already started building their facility out in Prince William Sound. So we just invested some money to give them a boost. And then to have three satellites training centers for training on Yamaha outboards. One in Ketchikan and one in Dillingham. And then the third one was TBD. And because we have like 3 years to spend these funds. And so as things go, life changes and things move around, AvTech was able to secure some funding to get an instructor and some equipment to start a program. Homer wanted a program as well, so it just made sense for us to collaborate and put it in Soldotna. And this instructor that saw the press release lives in Kenai. So we're connecting all the dots to have this program to teach Yamaha outboard engines introductory technician training to start with. And they will get a chance to work on engines from 9 horse to 250s. And it will be, our hope is that it will be in Soldotna with this instructor coordinator. Folks from Homer can come up, and folks from Seward and from around the state. They have the housing in Soldotna. And we actually came up with an idea. We want to get a big toy hauler. And we want to put a mobile Yamaha training in this big old toy hauler, and then we can haul it around the state and do training. So, but that's a big dream. But anyways, for the start, we're going to have these satellite programs and this training program in Prince William Sound. I hope that answered your question.
It does. Thank you. Certainly many are aware of some housing issues across the state, certainly in rural Alaska, but also on the road system, and Seward is no stranger to that. Are you all experiencing any issues with having difficulty finding housing for your students or staff there at AvTech?
Mr. Chair, we are, but we have dormitories. We have the Willard E. Dunham Hall. It houses 128 students. We have our 4th Avenue dorm that houses another 48 students. We have 3 apartment complexes that it have 1-bedroom to 4-bedroom units. And we are at capacity. We have one of the units is a fourplex that we've set aside for incoming staff to rent until they can find a place to live. In Seward, you have to be in town to get a place to live. Because by the time you see it online or you see it somewhere and you call, it's gone. So you got to kind of be in town and put the word out that you're looking for a place. And somebody will, like they did to me, message me on Facebook. Hey, I hear you're looking for a place to live. So, we continue to have those challenges. But fortunately for us here at AvTech, we're able to house our students. And we weren't always at capacity in our dormitories because students had an easier time finding apartments. But now they don't, so they're living with us. So we're full. So it's not a problem, but it's definitely it definitely could be.
Very good, thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining us today, Madam Director. We really appreciate the information, and the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee welcomes the ability and opportunity to work with you and AvTech to continue to meet the mission of workforce development here in Alaska and partnering closely with business and industry in this state. Providing skilled workers that our state needs to move our economy forward is something that we are very interested in as a legislature. So please let us know what we can do to help you meet that mission, and we will do our best to make that happen.
Thank you again for the opportunity, Senator. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. We'll take a brief at ease. With Northwest Arctic Career and Technical Center, or NACTEC. Doug, could you please state your name and affiliation for the record?
Yes, my name's Doug Walrath, Director of the Northwestern Alaska Career and Technical Center in Nome. Can you hear me all right?
We can. 5x5, Doug. Thank you for being here today. Do you prefer that we hold our questions till the end of your presentation or ask them as you go?
Yes, Chair Bjorkman. I think it'd be best to answer at the end of the presentation.
Okay, very good. you'll pardon me while I read a little bit of information about you that was provided to me. Dr. Doug Walrath has been the NACTEC director since 2009. His undergraduate work at the University of Wisconsin-Stout was in technology education, and graduate work followed at Utah State University with a master's degree in industrial technology and education and a PhD in curriculum and instruction. Doug is a former NASA astronaut, selection candidate, and U.S. Army veteran of the Gulf War. He teaches careers in the military and enjoys all things outdoors with his children. Dylan and Denali. Doug, thank you for joining us at Senate Labor and Commerce today.
Please thank you very much, Chair Bjorkman, Vice Chair Bishop, and members of the committee. It warmed my heart hearing here as I join you from Nome Belts High School that you're all meeting in the Belts room down there. My office is now part of what used to be a typing classroom up here 50 or so years ago. So as you'll see on the first slide, NACTEC is a partnership between the City of Nome, Nome Public Schools, and Bering Strait School District. We're a bit of an infant compared to AvTech, and not really. They're on 50 years. We're on our 20th year of operation right now. We're supported from state funding from both the Department of Education and Early Development and from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. In the upper right hand is a graphic showing the villages that we primarily serve. Over the past 20 years, we've served students from over 50 rural villages across Alaska, but predominantly we serve that population in the Bering Strait region. So that's the Seward Peninsula, as far north as Shishmaref on the Chukchi Sea, as far west as Diomede in the middle of the Bering Strait, and St. Lawrence Island, Gamble and Savunga in the Bering Sea. And then as far south, the Norton Sound, south side, St. Michael and Stebbins. And then on the east side, where the Iditarod mushers come into Unicleet and loop around Norton Sound, we serve all those villages. And primarily in 2 week, variable term residential programming, where students pull out of their high school classes, come to Nome for 2 weeks for intensive career and technical education, and then return back home to their regular studies. So next slide, please. So as noted, we have a mission of workforce development training. We align our training with Alaska's priority industries, healthcare, transportation, construction, hospitality and tourism, seafood harvesting and processing, and natural resource development. So a few bullet points that I wanted to highlight. NACTEC is a DMV approved non-commercial driving school, third party examiner for road tests. So as you could imagine, students that are traveling in from remote villages, most don't have access to vehicles or training of that sort. So we have found that getting a driver's license along with that high school diploma is essential for employment purposes. We really focus on getting our students technical training, certifications, and dual credit. In one of those opportunities, as Director LeCompte alluded to, is with AvTech's Maritime Department. We've enjoyed a partnership with them, I believe, going back to 2017. So through AvTech, there is U.S. Coast Guard approval to deliver certificated training programs here in Nome. So our NACTEC classroom and then the City of Nome pool are both approved training locations. So we just most recently had a training up here. The instructor came up from Seward in December, delivers three quarters of that training up here, everything except the firefighting portion of training. We'll continue with that population of students down to AvTech in April to go all the way through that certificated training. It's a great program and it's a great partnership. It provides our students the opportunity to life in the dorms at AvTech. Just everything about being at AvTech, they get to experience while they're in high school. So it's really an opportunity for high school students to take away the fear of the unknown to increase the likelihood of their continued success in the future. Also would like to highlight a UAF Community Technical College partnership through UAF CTC. The auto shop that's here is approved through the FAA for a remote site for aviation maintenance coursework. So students can receive dual credit for their coursework here. And the last bullet point is highlighting healthcare is probably our most well-developed strand. We have been offering in partnership with UAF Northwest Campus, Norton Sound Health Corporation, Quirik Inc., the Native nonprofit, a CNA course for as long as we've been operating, about 20 years. So it begins with a Health 105, an introduction to health field course that students get exposed to those careers. And then we look to target seniors who graduate So they graduate, they walk the stage, and a week later, they're with us for a four-week training here in Nome to get their PCA training, personal care attendant, CNA, certified nurse assistant, or health aid training. So the PCA and the health aid are both village-based employment positions, and the CNA requires moving here to Nome. So the picture in the lower right shows a graduate of Brevard Mission High School from last year who came in for training, PCA, CNA, successfully completed that program, moved to Nome, and is employed at Norton Sound Health Corporation, the largest employer in our region who employs about 800. Next slide, please. So I noted we really look to align our career and technical education training with workforce development needs. So a few of those things that are happening here on the horizon in Nome, Congress has appropriated over $600 million for a deep draft port here in Nome. We just hosted with a number of partners 2 weeks ago a workforce development summit here looking to prepare for that project coming. Nome has a population of about 3,700 citizens, and what was presented, the shovels hitting the ground in 2024 and the next few years to follow, was 800 people that would be on that project. So that is huge for Nome. And then potentially following up on that, Graphite Creek was designated as high priority status project in 2021. Graphite Creek is about 40 miles outside of Nome. So graphite is important for battery production. And right now the predominant amount of graphite produced in the world comes from China. So not being dependent on foreign country for those resources is an opportunity that's here in our region and could be something as soon as perhaps 2027 to 2030 of being in production. Next slide. The next two slides, I just wanted to highlight a couple of programs and take a look in picture form of what some of our training programs look like. These pictures were all taken from a training program just this past October. So on the right-hand side, the two slides are some students that are in the driver education program. So it's actually a freshman from Uniclique behind the wheel there that came in and got her instructional permit. So students come in, they get their permits, they work their drive time through multiple training programs and on to licensure. The bottom right picture shows, with support recently from the Department of Education, a full motion-based truck driving simulator that we've installed. So that's actually the same freshman in the car that's behind the truck that's getting to feel what it's like to drive a bus, a semi, a concrete truck, a snow plow. Pick the vehicle that you can drive it. The top middle is a picture of our heavy equipment simulator center. We have nearly $1 million full motion-based simulator center. It's been nearly exclusively supported by business and industry contributions using the Alaska Education Tax Credit Program. So we get students their driver's license, their drive time behind the wheel. We bring them into a simulated environment, just like Kathy was mentioning down at AvTech that they do in the maritime program. We do similarly in heavy equipment. And then we just have a bunch of wonderful partners, quite honestly, locally, that allow our students to get out and feel, you know, what it's like to move some dirt. So on the left-hand side is a gold miner that allowed the students in his hydraulic excavator to move some dirt. The bottom right, the City of Nome Maintenance grader operator brought his grader out to Nome Belts campus for students to get in the controls familiarization training they do in a simulated environment just to get to operate some of those controls. Next slide, please. The next slide is taking a look at our fisheries, seafood, and maritime industry strand. So we are fortunate that we have the City of Nome pool here. So we begin every morning with swimming training for students. Our students live, almost all of them, on water, you know, that's here and cold waters. And there's a high death rate on water in our region. So we want students to learn how to swim as a life skill, but it's also something that's going to be increasingly important for more opportunities for employment in the future. So beyond getting the basic swimming skill, those that develop a skill set beyond that, the lower right is a look at one of the AvTech instructors up here from, I believe, 2019, when we did a training in the pool. So this is some of the immersion suit training that they're doing, and how to be spotted from the air in the event that they would need to, you know, abandon ship. In the upper left is a scuba training. We've only done one of those so far, and it's often difficult for us to find a population of students that have a swimming skill set that has progressed to get to that point. And then upper right and lower left is a look at our fisheries and seafood industries course. We do an egg tank project on the Snake River. So that picture in the lower left is just a couple miles away from the NACTEC house, our student dormitory, which I totally skipped over in that first slide. We have a dorm that houses 26 students. So that's our capacity during training programs. But the students are very fortunate. They get to work with fisheries biologists from Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to learn about their career through hands-on real-world training. Next slide, please. So I wanted to present, you know, just some of the challenges and issues in our region, and I heard a little bit about this down in Seward as well. So Chair Bjorkman, as you indicated, rural Alaska housing needs. We have some serious housing needs here in Nome, and that was part of the conversations with the Workforce Summit 2 weeks ago. How do you prepare for a workforce of potentially 800 more folks coming in? There were probably about 80 people that attended the Workforce Summit last 2 weeks ago, and I believe we took nearly every room that was available in Nome for that. So when you're speaking something that's tenfold that, it's a need awaiting a solution to fix that. Utility costs as well. Heating fuel cost is now $7.20 a gallon. Electricity up here is diesel powered generation. So that cost carries over there. Certified teachers, I'll speak to in my own area, is excited to hear Kathy indicate that she was fully staffed with CTE teachers. This is a need, and a real need at the high school level. I've been in this position for 14 years, and each year it's more and more challenging. I really haven't seen a true CTE certified teacher apply in probably 10 years. We develop most of our folks. We do have a lot of adjuncts to teach technical courses as well, and very fortunate to have those partnerships to bring a well-rounded menu of CTE courses. Rural services, the DMV office closed here in Nome, and I believe about 2018. So that was part of our need to come on to be a non-commercial driving school and then a third-party examiner. Right now, we're administering most of the road tests that occur in Nome, and that's for all the folks in our region. Deed residential stipends. So I mentioned being funded by both Department of Labor funding sources and the Department of Education. So there's a residential stipend, boarding school stipends that supports variable term programs. And that's been flat funded since 2015. So looking back to that first bullet point on utilities, the cost of fuel has doubled, you know, since the last statutory change. And that supports not only NACTEC here in Nome, our neighbors to the north, Northwest Arctic Borough School District have a residential program. The Lower Yukon School District, our neighbors to the south, partner with Anchorage School District, and over at King Tech High, they have a great program. Lower Kuskokwim School District have Lower Kuskokwim Academy in the interior. Galena City School District, Nanani City School District, and Chugach School District, Anchorage-based as well. So there's a number of programs representing a large swath of rural Alaska that would benefit from that. And then the next is the Alaska Education Tax Credit. So if you go to the next slide, I'm a numbers guy and a data guy, so it wouldn't be me with at least including one slide of that sort. So I wanted to really present this. And again, I heard Director LeComp mention a common partner, Trident Seafoods of Avtec, is also a partner of ours through the ATSE Processors Association, along with American Seafoods, Glacier Fish Company, Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation, Bering Straits Native Corporation. There have all been partners of NACTEC for 10 or more years, or contributed $1.5 million or more to our programs going back to FY10. So if not aware of the Alaska Education Tax Credit, it's a tax credit that there are two different types of fisheries related taxes, two in oil and gas, one in mining, one is an insurance premium title tax and a corporate income tax, to which contributions can be made to university, vocational schools, programs of the sort of NACTEC. We have been very aggressive of going out to secure business and industry partnerships. So the graph, the table you're looking at there, indicates the fiscal year on the left column. ETC total is the total education tax credit contribution to our program in that given year. The budget total will be our operating budget for that year. And then the percent of the education tax credit is merely the percent of our budget that business and industry partners sustained in that fiscal year. So between FY14 and FY19, about 30% of our budget annually came from business and industry contributions. So this program formally, it was cut back in 2018. It formally had an upper limit of $5 million in tax credits that could be claimed, which was cut back to $1 million. And there was what I termed a sweet spot provision in the credit formally, where a $250,000 contribution could be made with the $50,000 expense out of pocket. So that's where we kind of targeted our donations, around that $300,000 contribution limit. And over time it changed. After December 31st of 2020, so that it became a 1-to-1 contribution. So that $300,000 contribution that formerly cost $50,000 now was a $150,000 credit that cost $150,000 to take. So you can see in the bold, the 3 years on the bottom, how the percentage dropped off. So I'll note that I believe that some of our strongest programs come from when we sit down at the table with our business and industry partners. They can articulate their needs and then kind of help direct dollars where they want that to go. So I was really excited to hear Kathy say that Trident was supporting AvTech just like they are NACTEC up here in Nome. Next slide, please. Impacts. So a few of the impacts, obviously, with some change to the education tax credit legislation. I don't know this for the state, but I know for us, we've seen fewer business and industry contributions. So it's not all doom and gloom. That's been offset recently with a larger amount of federal dollars that are accessible. So we've shifted, you know, our focus and have gone that way. But I wanted to certainly draw attention to it because I think it's something for the future that we found of great value, and things change over time. So where those things can be addressed for the long term is great. Workforce shortage. I noted a visa process on here. We being Bering Strait School District travel far and wide in the recruitment season, which is coming up here. Teacher contracts keep getting offered earlier and earlier. And I'm sure that's pretty common across rural Alaska to try and get your folks to sign on. But there's an increasingly large amount of teachers that we're drawing up here that are coming in on a visa process, a lot from the Philippines that we're seeing. So not only drawing teachers from Alaska or the lower 48, it's kind of a, you know, canary in the mine situation to be aware of. Like, If we're to prepare that local workforce, you know, we need the folks who are trained in that area to do so. And they're just in education, not coming in right now. And then cost of living, housing and utilities. I already alluded to that. So we'll go on to the final slide, please. So just looking at some potential solutions, I don't claim to have all the answers. Teacher licensure was one thing. I've had a conversation with an individual through a number of years who noted that he holds a lifetime certificate in another state, and that he found Alaska to be a little bit more challenging to secure teacher licensure than elsewhere. That if there's reciprocity for those who have a lifetime certificate, of course, you know, following up background checks, other things that need to occur. He indicated that Alaska has an allure to it, And he believed that there's probably more teachers that are older further along in their career that maybe didn't get to go do that Alaska thing they wanted when they're younger that could bring a lot of years of seasoned teaching experience to Alaska if the process could be made, you know, a little easier. Deboarding school stipends, a solution to that, I noted, hasn't had a statutory funding increase since FY15. I noted there's pretty broad reach across rural Alaska that would benefit. And then rural services, through the DMV, there's business partner contracts. We need to renew this contract annually for the DMV, non-commercial driving school, those services that you can provide. That process split this past year to be one that go not only through the DMV, but also the Department of Administration. It seems like it's becoming a little bit more burdensome, and where you have programs of the sort of ours that are hopping in, trying to pick up where there's a void created by a DMV office closure. If there were a 3-year or a 5-year renewal process, that would be helpful. And last, going back to the cost of rural Alaska and utilities, just wanted to draw attention to power cost equalization. The PCE is really important for us here at Nome, in our villages and across rural Alaska. So with that is all I have. I'll turn it back to you, Chair Bjorkman.
Thank you, Dr. Walrath. Are there questions from the committee? Senator Bishop.
Just a comment, Doug. It's good to see you. It's hard to believe you've been here that long now from the first day you walked in my office, but you do a hell of a job up there. We appreciate it, and I know the people of Nome do, so keep up the good work.
Through the chair, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Senator Bishop.
Other questions? I have a question, Doug. Could you tell us a little bit more about the change to the education tax credit program and how that caused a decrease and really a decrease in partnership between industry and your facility?
Mr. Chair, the change to the program, and I don't know so much about the limit of the contribution, which was formerly $5 million. And cut back to $1 million, but what it costs the business or industry partner who's making the contribution, you know. So formally, and we were fortunate to have a number of partners step forward and make $300,000 contributions to us, which to a program our size with a budget, if you saw them there, around $1.7 million to now up to $2.5 million. That's a significant contribution. It cost them $50,000, you know, so to make the same contribution now costs $150,000 to claim $150,000 credit, as opposed to claim a $250,000 credit with a $50,000 out-of-pocket contribution. So that program was wonderful for us, and at the time it was there. As I noted, we built a full motion-based 8-machine heavy equipment simulator center, and I believe nearly all of the contributions came from the Alaska Education Tax Credit Program. So when that opportunity came up, that was one that we shopped around rather widely. It was also coinciding, you know, around that time when oil production was decreasing and the price per barrel was decreasing as well. So necessity is a mother invention, and it was something that was clear for us. We needed to go out and be quite aggressive pursuing that.
Very good. Thank you. If there are no further questions, Doug, thank you very much for joining us today. Really appreciate you being here. I'll reiterate my comments to Director LeCompte, to you as well, that we stand ready to support you in your mission, and we want to make sure that you have the resources that you need in order to help our workforce and train workers in this state to meet the needs of industry. So We really appreciate you both being here with us today, and thank you for joining us all in Senate Labor and Commerce.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Our next meeting will be on Monday, January 30th. At that time, we will hear from the Foraker Group to get a better picture of Alaska's workforce from the perspective of nonprofit entities. As there is no further business to come before this committee, the meeting is adjourned at 2:41 p.m.